I come with five, then make it ten. Life is all about making flips, cashing out and then taking trips. So why the hell would they check for y'all when Tay is here and on the main event? Why the hell would they check for y'all when Tay is here and on the main event?
Perry blocked by James, making a statement on both sides of the floor. Says to the two-time MVP, get it out of here. Not on my watch. And then how about the decision-making on the offensive end? Recognizing who is defending, where the help is coming from.
Yes, yes, that is right. We are back in the building. Welcome to a new episode of the Snatchback Podcast, Season 2, season number Kyrie Irving. The last time I spoke to you lovely folks, it was June 20th, of course, 2016. And I made what could have been the most worst decision I ever made in terms of my young podcasting career, which is deciding to make a live episode following Game 7 of the NBA Finals, because you guys know my boys were playing in it versus the Warriors. But I just knew that, for one, the Lord loves me, and that somehow, some way, the Cavs was going to win that championship. And it turned out to be the most epic post-game episode that I ever done. Salute to everybody that called them, because the numbers were crazy. I had to extend my time over 15 minutes. Championship Gary, you already know, came through within 3 days. Almost made the parade to Cleveland, but you know, brother had priorities and I had to go away for the summer. But we are back. Snatchback Podcast, NBA preview special. For one, let me give a huge shout out to my dude Tay, who you guys heard on the Foreside Podcast, hosted by myself and Wills. That's his latest song, the main event freestyle. He is killing it from White Plains, doing his thing. And that's going to be the official intro to the Snatchback Podcast. And I have two special guests here with me, two guys whose sports of pain I respect dearly. These guys are, in a way, and I'm not saying because they're here, they're in a way low-key like my inspiration in this sports talk thing that we do. I see these two guys doing their thing on bigger platforms, making moves, doing great interviews. They're world-renowned travelers. I'm like, damn, I got to step my traveling game up. And a few months ago, these guys also created this dope podcast called Justin and Nick, which is clever because I got my dude to the right, Justin Waiters. And, of course, I have Nick Cregan. And I'm pretty sure I might have messed up your nickname.
It's cool. Walters.
Walters. Justin Walters and Nick Cregan, two of my guys, Westchester's own.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Killing it. And it's funny that the first thing you touched on was the Cavs winning the championship.
Oh, man, here we go.
Yeah, I remember that.
Bring up. You go in the grinder.
First episodes, Justin happened to say that he knew for a fact that Cleveland couldn't come back being down 3-1.
I remember that.
No. Time out. Look at Nick with his selective amnesia. We made predictions before the series started. That is what you have to give these listeners the background.
And I predicted Cavs to win the chip.
They're going to win in six. And I said the Warriors are going to win in five. And they were going to win in five if Draymond didn't get suspended. Bogut wasn't out for the rest of the series. But shout out to LBJ and the Cleveland Indians.
That's right.
Are now in the World Series. So they even cement his legacy even more, because if they win a championship.
Hey, I've said it on my Snapchat. You know, unfortunately, when the Indians knocked out, you know, my Boston Red Sox and sent Poppy into retirement far earlier than he should have, I said if the Indians found a way to win the World Series, considering how LeBron came back and won a championship, I don't care what anybody says. I'm considering him the GOAT, just like that. Because that's true power, in my opinion. That's true influence. That's doing, you know, just the Lord's work to come
I don't remember Michael Jordan ever winning a chip and then the Chicago White Sox or the Cubs going
definitely
on
not the Cubs
World Series,
or the Bears winning the World Series, winning the Super Bowl with him winning the NBA Finals. But to start this show, okay, this got give you guys a little background. When you're hearing this episode, you're going to hear this over 48 hours away from the beginning of the NBA season, when the Cleveland Cavaliers host the New York Knicks and receive their rings in front of the hometown crowd at the Q. When recording this, first of all, it's a very lit Wednesday night. Empire's on. We got the third debate that's going to be lit. I always love my great entertainment I get from these presidential debates.
Saturday Night Live.
And today, on a more serious note, New York Knicks point guard Derrick Rose was cleared of all charges in his silver suit rape case. If you guys didn't know, he's been in Los Angeles this entire time for this case. And before we really get into talking about D. Rose and the basketball aspect, how do you guys feel about this, Justin? How about you?
Man, just looking at the aftermath of what's taking place, the jurors taking pictures with Derrick Rose,
that
cheesing, the judge making jokes, best of wishes this season, as long as it's not against the Los Angeles Lakers, it makes it seem like a joke.
Yeah,
and it's
does.
Unfortunate, because even though there was a lot of things that weren't going in favor for Jane Doe, who was his former girlfriend that accused Rose of rape, and his two pals, it just looks at the whole process and you feel sorry for her regardless of knowing anything. You make it seem like she had no chance of winning at all when the jurors are like that, not holding herself in a professional manner, or the judge.
Very unfortunate.
I don't know if I could say I feel sorry for her in that sense. Like, I think that might be the wrong terminology for me because I don't know the facts. Like, I really don't know what happened, what didn't happen.
Without looking at the facts, is a person from the outside, because you got to understand, people aren't going to know the facts. They just think that it's for, like, Jameis Winston, whether you think that he was any person, Derrick Rose is going to have this asterisk next to his name. No matter what. It's like steroids. You can't. It's a loaded question. No matter if he's free or not free. And it's a situation with that.
But that's the scary part about being accused of anything, right?
Yeah.
Even if one of us never did anything wrong in our lives and somebody just accused you of anything, you had to, you would have to go to court for it. And it's not going to go away even if you did nothing wrong at all. So, I mean, like I said, I don't know what did happen. Only people that know were the three people that were involved.
Four people.
I mean.
My fault. I ain't want to get into the numbers like that. I'm just trying to be accurate.
But yeah, the whole, I was following it loosely, and I remember one of the things that D. Rose first spoke about was his rookie training as an NBA player, that he was trained to make sure he brings condoms with him whenever he leaves a girl's hotel room or anything like that. And I just think it. You know, sex with athletes is just seen, like you said, it's seen as a joke in a lot of ways because women might claim that they were raped or taken advantage of, and a lot of the times that is the truth. They were taken advantage of or raped, and these star athletes have their star athlete power, and a lot of times people like the judge that you saw today talking about good luck with the season until you play the Lakers, that's just not appropriate in a courtroom setting after something like that just happened, even if Derrick Rose did nothing wrong at all. So it's just the system of celebrities and you know, court cases. It's just a unfortunate, you know.
I definitely agree with you on that, because the accused part to me is the scariest thing, because when we're thinking about, you know, what we're talking about here, people could get accused of like murder and everything else, and yet somehow, some way, that could be defended, right? Like, somebody could get accused of murder, but you could be like, well, it's self-defense, you know? But when you have...
Ray Lewis.
That is true. But when you have, like, a rape accusation, a sexual assault accusation, that sticks with you for life, and there is no excuse or reason that could be made. But for me, I think the biggest thing that comes from it, and I saw this on Twitter, you know, and a lot of people's like, well, you know, this is why, like, a lot of women don't, like, come forward, or a lot of victims in general, because men can also, you know, be in a situation, is that a lot of people don't come forward with it. And personally, I feel as if more people, especially if it did happen to you and you have good reasoning for it, need to come out. I don't see the understanding behind silence, especially when people that try to be silent usually come out years later and it looks worse on their part. And like both of you mentioned, it makes it harder for them in terms of the court of public opinion, because they're like, well, we hear it all the time, that person's trying to get money, or this person's trying to get famous. So I think the biggest thing that I would like to just share on this before we move on talking about D. Rose on the basketball court, and I've been in a situation where I've talked to people about this, is for as much as you could try not to talk about it, at some point you need to talk about it, and you need to just do what's right for you. And it also brings awareness to a very serious issue. I really don't agree with silence. That's just me, though. But when you talk about D. Rose, now, on the basketball court, should be the starting point guard for the New York Knicks. You know, 1 year left on his big-time deal. I think it's like maybe $18 to $22 million per season. And this is a year, and I was at the Knicks Media Day, by the way, and I asked D. Rose a question. I was like, basically, D. Rose, how do you feel about your training this summer? How do you feel physically? How do you do mentally? What is the challenge? And he told me straight up. He said he feels pretty darn good, and he feels as if he could have a very good season. Nick, how do you feel about D. Rose this season?
Well, I mean, when I look at the Knicks' track record with point guards, it's never good.
It's terrible.
Three New York Knicks point guards have made the All-Star game since 1989.
Terrible.
That's bad. Like, that's a bad sign, period.
The Knicks were also like two picks away from getting Steph Curry.
Yeah, I'm sure the Knicks were a few picks away from getting a lot of people that have turned out to be great players. But, you know, when I look at D. Rose, when I was working at Fox Sports 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had said that the injury that Rose faced that year would probably be the demise of his career. Mm. It will be similar to Penny Hardaway, similar to Brandon Roy, similar to Grant Hill, whereas, like, you're never going to fully recover from that injury. It's just going to be pretty much a downward spiral from there. And it's been that. I mean, D. Rose hasn't played a full season in how many years? So I don't see him being a factor of the Knicks making the playoffs this year. I think that he should play his role as, you know, a facilitator when he can, but they should, you know, not go hard with the minutes. He's not going to be the type of dude to play starting minutes by any means for the whole season. It's just not going to work out. So I see D-Rose being a role player on the Knicks. They're going to need another point guard, another strong point guard. Brandon Jennings is not going to be that guy, I don't think. No.
No?
No, I don't see anybody on the Knicks.
My man is playing out there like it's 09 again.
But they don't. That's the problem with the Knicks. They don't have any depth. Yeah. What do you have after Rose and Jennings?
That's true.
No, I think you need that. Like, honestly, I wish they would have been able to get dude from Memphis.
Michael Conley.
Conley?
Yeah.
Conley?
He would have been an amazing pickup for the Knicks.
But that money, though.
And you're speaking about All-Star games. He got that crazy contract, and he's never made an All-Star game.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to the CBA. The owners got to pay the players up for real, unless there was going to be another lockout. But, I mean, I think it's very funny with that thought, because you have Rose, you have Jennings, and those two are looked at as the answers at the point guard position. And my biggest concern, really, when I look at the Knicks, and we're still going to talk about D-Rose, but my biggest concern with the Knicks is how will Rose, Jennings, and Melo affect the development of Kristaps Porzingis? Because there is no way Kristaps should go to the wayside and suddenly just be some secondary or last option. That man is too talented.
This is the New York Knicks.
I know, but still, that man's too talented. He's filled with too much potential suddenly be thrown to the wayside.
But that's
man.
Why this is the New York Knicks. Like, we've seen all this right. happen so many times. He's going
right.
to stay on the Knicks for the rookie minimum and then move on to another team and damn. Become an all-star.
Damn.
Because the Knicks care too much about past.
Or win a championship like J.R. Smith.
The Knicks care shout too much to about past talent. Like, why did you spend $120-something million on Carmelo Anthony? Why? What has that done? That's done literally nothing for the Knicks but fill up your cap space.
I don't think it was really their choice. I think it was more Melo. Melo always wanted to stay in New York. That tells you where Melo...
Because of those dollar signs.
Nobody wanted to come to New York. That's what they were hoping.
The dollar signs and the market. The dollar signs and the market.
During the time, because it was back when Amari came, they were hoping to bring the pop back to New York and give it that flavor and that feeling, so that was part of him being
the
cornerstone.
No, but when he re-signed for that
2014.
But they wanted to keep someone here.
But, I mean, you could have freed up so much cap space, made the next year a rebuilding year, wait for the free agency period to
happen. If I'm Melo, though, can you be mad at him for getting his money?
No, I'm not mad at Melo at all. Melo's a smart dude. It's the hierarchy of the Knicks that I'm concerned about.
Truth of the matter is, I don't think it really was even
everyone's always been concerned with Dolan.
Yeah. Truth of the matter is, I don't really think it was even a Knicks issue. Like, because I remember at that time, I know I personally was saying, Melo, you shouldn't dare think about signing long term. Because you need to think about your flexibility and keep your options open. I was saying, Melo, your best friend is LeBron. You got to do a 2-3-year deal and get your dollars at the same time.
They ain't really best friends if you're doing that.
And, hey, LeBron did a lot of times. Either way, and that's why he got 3 rings. But
the reason I think
Phil Jackson was saying that, he actually told him at the time, he was like, yo, Melo, I think you should sign this short term. But Melo wanted to get his dollars, so that's why he signed.
Melo doesn't
years.
Care about rings. I've realized that when he didn't go to the Bulls and when he had a chance to go to other places, I'm like, you know what? Melo's just thinking about his future with the money. He's like, you know what? If I don't win a ring, whatever.
Why get rings when you got medals?
That's true.
At the end of the day, the ring to him obviously doesn't matter that much.
He's going to show people around his house, hey, this was in Beijing when we didn't win the championship. Here was when I was the oldest member of the Olympic team. We won a championship in Rio.
I always think about this. If I was a player, right, NFL, NBA, MLB, would I care more about if I've had a pretty decent career, but there's that person that's always been better than me. LeBron has always been better than Melo in every sense, ever since after their rookie season. Am I really caring about rings so much? Because I'm like, all right, you know what? LeBron's the one everyone's focused on to chase that. Why don't I just get this money so that after I'm done playing basketball, because I can't play forever, my family's going to be good forever. I'm going to be good forever. I'm not going to get that $1 billion Nike contract that Bron got, so I might as well get $127 million in New York.
And that's been the case ever since he came to New York. People forget, too, when Melo went to New York, he forced the trade to New York. He could have easily waited until the summer to go, but he really wanted to go to New York because of the looming CBA. So that's always been his memo. Like, for Melo to leave New York, it would really have to come to him going, I need to get this chance to get a ring. I need to take it now.
I don't think he cares about that.
But outside of that, I don't think he does. He doesn't want to uproot his family. That's like the biggest excuse everybody gives.
He didn't
want
to lose those Honey Nut Cheerios.
That's right. You can't lose those.
I was hearing some rumbles. I don't know how true it was, but I was hearing some rumbles about that. Lala was not leaving New York. So.
Of course. They had to leave L.A. one time. So she's definitely not leaving New York for her business.
Yeah.
Not at all. She definitely not leaving there for her business.
Hey, that's family business, family decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Same reasons people heard about LeBron leaving Miami. Like, yeah, going home to Cleveland. But at the end of the day, does his wife really want him in Miami for that long? It's not the type of place you want to raise a family as a LeBron James type of person. So
yeah, Carmelo got mad he wasn't top 10 players by Slam. He's not even top four in his position.
But he's not. That's the thing.
He's
like,
not top five in his position.
And that's the reason why I feel like a lot of people didn't want to come to New York to play, because at the end of the day, are you going to win a ring with Melo, or are you just going to be on the team with Melo getting his stats up the way he's always been?
His stats ain't even that glorified.
Yeah, he's down to like 20 points, 21 points. Justin, how do you feel about the Knicks this season? More so Rose or whoever you feel like, because we're psychoanalyzing the Knicks right now. We're seeing what's going on. Do you think it's just going to be a same old?
They'll make the playoffs.
You really think they're going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
How many wins?
Doesn't really matter how many wins, because it's the dreaded East.
Hey, the East got better and the West getting worse. That wins thing might matter now.
It's still the East.
Hey.
It's still the East.
Somebody got to defend the East.
I don't know if the East.
It's still the East.
The Knicks are coming off with a 19-win season. How many wins did they have last year?
Nah, they had the biggest improvement last year. They had 37, I believe. They're tied for the biggest improvement in NBA franchise history from their last season.
What was the season before?
This season?
Nah, the season before.
The season before that was, I believe, like 19. 19 or something. It was around that win total, and then they had an 18-plus win margin. But I got them definitely in the bottom half of the eight seeds. I'd give them as high as a 5, realistically. Let's say a 6. So let's say Cleveland, 1. 2, Indiana. 3, Toronto.
Indiana over jumps Toronto. Okay.
Yeah, Indiana's going to be nice. Monte Ellis, Paul George, and it got... Nah, I don't... I got Bulls maybe at 5. 4...
Gotta be Boston.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure, just because I don't know how Al Horford is going to...
I feel like 4, 5, 6 is going to be a flip-flop. Boston always finds a way.
With Isaiah Thomas and the fact that they picked up Al Horford, which is solid.
Thomas, Horford, Brad Stevens is the coach. They always had under.
Yeah, so you could give them, you know, Brad Stevens is a solid coach. Started off at Butler, solid guy. Number 5, you give either to the Bulls or Washington.
I'll go Bulls instead.
Okay. I'm not sure how that mini 3 is going to work out. Jimmy Butler, Wade, and
it's
Rondo.
Like that
and
meme.
They just picked up Michael Carter-Williams off the trade. So we're not sure. Like,
then the Bulls are also lacking depth as well.
Yeah, they're lacking depth.
They got some young players that haven't proved themselves yet. They got some young options. The Bulls always find a way to get, like, attractive young options.
I'm not sure. You got 2 new players. Who knows where Rondo's the man?
In terms of young options, they've always had a way to get
it. I couldn't believe is when Wade said that Rondo's the best point guard he's ever played with in his career. I'm like... So LeBron never played point?
He's not counting that.
Come on. LeBron is a point guard.
Nobody took offense to that because LeBron.
Technically, we look at LeBron as a point forward.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's played those three positions. When he goes to
the All-Star game, what position is he?
Small.
That's an All-Star. You're not on the Heat or the Cavs in that situation.
Hey,
so.
Look, when you had to play with Mario Chalmers at all, people.
If that's the
case. If you're thinking pure.
Mario Chalmers.
If you're thinking pure point guards, it's definitely.
If that's the case, Magic
Johnson.
He
also played with White Chocolate, though. White Chocolate was nice.
Unfortunately, he had to play with White Chocolate.
In his demise.
Yeah, not Sacramento White Chocolate that showed Gary.
Not Chris Webber. Not the Sacramento Queens, as Shaq once said.
Why is it, though, you really feel Indiana's going to be second? That to me is a pleasant surprise. That means
Indiana's solid. PG, that's my breakout player this year.
That's what I'm saying. If Indiana.
No.
He has to be a legitimate MVP candidate for them to go to 2.
He said MVP. He didn't say MVP candidate.
Regardless, like, when you think of the East, the top 2 teams was like 56 and 57 wins last year. Yeah. And Cleveland and Toronto are teams that, you know, you take away a few losses here and there, they could be capable 60-win teams. So you're basically looking at Indiana as a mid-50s win team. Like, you're looking at PG...
I would see
going to
Indiana's
another level.
3. I think Toronto could get the 2 seed.
You're hoping Jeff Teague does something.
Yo, they have a squad. Jeff Teague is solid. Jeff Teague.
Shout out to my man Miles Turner killing it last year as a rookie.
Jeff Teague, Monte Ellis, Miles Turner, PG, and you got Al. Al Jefferson.
They got a lot of scores.
Damn, yo, you forgot about Al Jefferson. Al Jefferson may be old, but he's a veteran. He comes off.
I'm never going to disrespect Al Jefferson.
He's a 15 and 10 guy. Easily,
he's the last of the back to the basket centers. So I always respect
him. He was killing it out in Charlotte.
He was killing it out in Charlotte.
Yo, they have a solid team. I prefer them, and I, regardless of who has a more better win total, Toronto or Indiana, I tell you right now, PG and Indiana have a better chance at beating Cleveland than Toronto. I got a lot more faith in them. Because I don't trust
Toronto.
Kyle Lowry.
PG is that star dude that could.
And DeMar DeRozan is about to dip. He's about to get a contract. So it's probably going to be one of his final years.
It's going to be a few years, though, because he re-upped this summer.
Oh, he did re-up. Yeah, that is right.
5 years. But, I mean, it's intriguing that you said that. Because I look at Indiana and I go, all right, you got Jeff Teague. You know, my boy Kyrie cooked him when he was in Atlanta a lot of times. Then I got PG versus LeBron. So I guess it would have to be the Turner and Jefferson duo to do something, you know?
No, it's going
to
be PG.
No, I mean PG is going to work. But at the same time, PG is not going to work enough to outplay LeBron.
Of course
or
not.
Or to even match
but
LeBron's
nobody
level
in the league is going to outplay LeBron.
But you're going
to
need Jeff Teague to step up on defense when playing Kyrie.
The thing that you need is when LeBron isn't putting up 40, 10, and 10, you're going to have your players like overperform to make sure they match that decline, you know?
Yeah. I got a better question. What are we going to see from Kevin Love this season?
Kevin Love's going to do what he does. Look, hey, Kevin Love, let me start by saying this. Kevin Love from Game 7 was, to me, in Game 7, hands down, the most underrated player from Game 7. And I'll tell you this why. Because a lot of people focus on Kevin Love, and we might as well shift the focus to the Cavs, because that's next on the list. Damn, my memory is good. I didn't even look at my phone to remember the topics. But Kevin Love from that Game 7, a lot of people look at him and just go, well, Kevin Love only had 9 points in the shots he missed. But the man had 14 rebounds, passed the ball good, and shut down the two-time MVP on the most critical defensive possession in the game. That's big time. And I think you got a Kevin Love that got a ring.
In all fairness, Stephen Curry had to shoot a three, so
hey, but that's one-on-one on the island. Nah, and K-Love can't
shut
play.
Down that game.
Yeah, and K-Love on that possession, 9 times out of 10.
Curry shut down pretty much that whole series.
9 times out of 10, K-Love is getting scored on by Steph in that situation.
That was the 10th.
Hey, that's true. But I think for Kevin Love, though, to answer this, I do think you're just going to get a guy who's just more all around and more in.
I don't think
he got the ring, and I don't think scoring is as big as
it needs to be. Yeah, I don't even think you have to look at Kevin Love as that big three component because he just needs to play his role.
Yeah.
He needs to play that Dennis Rodman role where he's picking up the pieces, he's making points when it counts, but you don't have to count on him
get
making
14
20
and 12, and it's an easy dub.
Yeah, you don't
and besides,
have to count on
who
Kevin
needs Kevin Love to really go out?
Kyrie and LeBron just have to make sure they're Kyrie and LeBron at the end of the day, and everybody else needs to play their role.
Yo, the Cavs depth.
I don't think the Cavs have a big three. I think they have a big two.
Two and a half.
I'll say three because Love could go out of nowhere and always give you 22 and 12, and he could remind you that he was an all star.
Yeah, but he hasn't done that at all on the Cavs, so I don't.
Because that's not his role. It's similar to Chris Bosh.
He's had his moments.
Chris Bosh is a Hall of Fame. I'm not saying I don't know what Kevin Love's career is going to be, but you have to change and alter your game when you come to different systems.
He's had his moments there. It's just. There's more of an emphasis on the bigger two, and that's Kyrie and LeBron. And then with really more of a focus on Kyrie Irving, I told people this after the finals. To me, Kyrie Irving is now a full-blown superstar in this league.
His offensive game has always been.
I would say he elevated himself in the finals.
He hit the game-winning shot.
He elevated himself because if it wasn't for Kyrie, the Cavs don't win that series.
If it wasn't for LeBron, they don't win.
Of course.
Yeah, but also if you don't have Kyrie, it's like, that's why he elevated him. He was at superstar status in the finals.
Captain Obvious,
and that's
right here,
when it counts.
But
the
if
most.
LeBron didn't win MVP, Kyrie would have won MVP. That's just a Captain Obvious statement, just from Cleveland side. But to me, I look at Kyrie as a full blown superstar in the league now.
Yeah.
I look at him full blown superstar, on the edge of being a top 3 point guard.
Yeah, if he can carry that momentum,
why you say on the edge?
No, because I think the top 3 point guards, hands down, in any order for wherever people believe, is always going to be Steph, Westbrook, and CP3 in terms of top 3 point guards. And I think outside of that, I'll take Kyrie over anybody at the position outside of those three. And I think out of those three, Steph's going to be Steph, so you can't overtake Steph.
Westbrook is going to average a triple double and go off this year. But CP3 is eventually going to be on the decline. Not to mention, Kyrie's going to have better postseason success than him.
Yeah, I think Kyrie could slide into the top three this year.
He could slide in. Cause I don't care what anybody said. Don't disrespect me and say John Wall's better than Kyrie. That's something I don't tolerate.
He was before last season.
John Wall's all around numbers.
He was before last season. Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He puts up all around numbers, but the man's game doesn't compare to Kyrie's.
They have lack of shooting.
Lack of shooting.
He has better defense than Kyrie.
That is true.
Kyrie has a better jump shot than him.
But he has better decision making.
He has better eye. He has better vision.
That's true, but Kyrie scoring and ball handling easily impacts ball, a game.
Okay, I just
higher than Wall.
It's an all around game though.
It's true, but
because he has better ball more. John Wall is just as fast as Kyrie.
But does he
with
impact
the ball in his hand?
But has he impact games the same way Kyrie has?
Yes,
Kyrie can.
Yes,
take
he has.
Over.
Look at what he has to
Kyrie
do in Washington.
Can take over. That is true, but at the same time, Wall before LeBron came through had a better team, and he wasn't impacting the game like Kyrie. Wall's not going
to talk about a better team.
Before LeBron came through, he had, think of it this way, was John Wall playing with Deion Waiters, Anderson Varejao, Andrew Bynum, Throwback Thursday, Jared Jack, Livingston before he turned up at Golden State.
You consider
was
that
he playing
a good
with
team?
Christian Nyanga? Do you remember Christian Nyanga?
You consider that a good team?
Do you remember Manny Harris?
You consider that a good team, though.
What, for Kyrie?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, for Washington?
Yeah.
They had a solid team. Wall and Bill can't play together. And Bill out of college was nice. He had vets. He had a young shooting guard playing with him. It's just Wall is always going to be that pretty solid all-around guard, but he's never going to reach that next level until that one aspect or two aspects.
I'm not talking about the plight that both of them have. Last year, before the finals, Wall had a better career than Kyrie.
But the numbers don't say so.
We're looking at how they impact the game overall. Both of them have two different roles. Who has more assists? The numbers do say so in the assist category.
That is true, but at the same time, if you want to talk assists,
the shooting percentage.
That's not true. John Wall can't shoot. Kyrie's always been at least a 45% shooter above from the field and above 40% from three. Wall has never even cracked 43%. He's never been a shooter. And if you want to talk assists, there's actually a stat on NBA.com in terms of points per assist or passes per game. Kyrie was always up top with passes per game. He just didn't have the teammates that benefited from his passes because they didn't score.
Who do you think has better vision?
It's Wall. But Wall also had before LeBron came, and also roles too. Like LeBron came, Kyrie doesn't have to be the point guard. But I think even with that said, when you look at the potential of Kyrie and what he was able to do, he was able
to growing. Really, he's still a cub. He's not even 25.
He was really able to impact games more to me than Wall because it was one or two things he hands down.
I would say they both were in similar situations, though, because in my opinion, the Wizards sucked just as bad as the Cavs sucked.
That's like, being nice.
You know
Cavs
what I mean?
Are terrible.
The Cavs were terrible, but the Wizards were not. They would never make it to a finals.
They were both trash.
The goal is to make it to the finals.
They were able to make the playoffs, though.
It depends what trash can they had.
Pierce came before Pierre was bad. They had Gortat. They had Bill. They always had like the.
They were able to slip.
They always had the savvy vets.
They were able to slip
that
in. That
was
East.
Able to do his thing.
I mean,
with.
It was the East.
Kyrie never had that. And then again,
you can't blame a man because he's a product of an environment.
I'm not trying to blame him. I just feel as if Wall is again a good all around.
Who do you
player.
Think make? Who do you think makes the players better around them? Kyrie or Wall? Before LeBron comes, because. That could also be another
Wall.
Situation.
But it's going to be Wall, but at the same time, no. That also matters.
But that matters.
Yeah, it is, but again, the Wall had a better supporting
you
cast.
You can't
right,
keep saying
about
that.
It like
yeah,
but you just can't say that, though, because if you put LeBron on any squad, right, LeBron's taking any team to the playoffs, hands down,
forget
no matter
playoffs,
what.
He's basically going to take them to the finals.
Exactly. Okay. By himself. So as a leader of your team, if you can't bring your team to the playoffs, if you put Wall on the Cavs, maybe they don't make the playoffs.
They're
I don't
not
know.
Make. He so had switch. To play. Andrew Bynum didn't even play a whole season in his only season there. He had to play with Christian Nyanga. Do
what
any of you guys remember Christian Nyanga?
Yeah, but
Manny
that,
Harris.
That argument is moot in a way because if you put LeBron on that squad, they're gonna go far.
And if
but
you
we
switch,
not talking
so do this then.
LeBron
switch,
Denise is
do
the
this,
most
do
valuable
this,
player of all
do
time.
This, do this. Switch Kyrie. And switch John Wall.
Okay.
Would the Wizards have been better with Kyrie? No. And you
they're
know
they're making
that.
The playoffs. Wall's not carrying
you didn't answer
the
question, though.
Yes, I do. They would have been better. Because Kyrie's scoring ability, along with the fact his understanding of passing would have taken
so
him
to another level. So he would have also made the team better, too. And they would have been a better product.
That's the part that I'm not sure about. Because I'm
No, because I look at it as the supporting cast. Wall had
No, I said you switch. You switch them. So now.
You switch teams.
Yes, you switch teams.
Like current teams?
Yes. You switch current teams.
So with, like.
Okay. Not with LeBron. We're talking about when he had the bums Gortat, Nene, Hilario.
Oh, and the like I said, yes, I really do believe it. Because I feel Kyrie would have utilized them well. Along with the fact that the things Kyrie is much better at than Wall would have took them to another level.
Which is scoring and ball handling.
Scoring, ball handling with enough passing and enough commitment on defense.
You just said two. What's with enough commitment on defense?
Yes.
What's that? That's like saying, good effort, kid. That's like that a participation trophy.
Because with enough defense, what happened to Steph Curry in the finals?
Okay.
Last time I checked.
But who's a better defender?
That's how Wall is. He is, but...
Who has better passing?
Does Wall touch Kyrie from an offensive standpoint?
No, he doesn't. But they're two different. They're two different games.
That's what. But still, it's still about the impact. It's still about the impact on the team, which see is obvious. That's why Kyrie could be looked at.
I think you're going more off of based off of what he just did because when they were both
even before
when we're going back, Kyrie was nice and we knew he was ball handling, but Kyrie didn't have the breakout. We were waiting for Uncle Drew.
Kyrie was an All-Star game MVP, bro. He was MVP of the U.S. Olympic tournament they did. He was already putting point guards in a body bag every night.
See, this is a problem.
He didn't have the talent.
He was putting point guards in a body bag. Based off of highlights and based off of games that don't matter, not off of actual in-game product. And you know that.
He was doing this thing in in-games. He didn't have the talent.
See, we keep going.
Because it's true. If one player. Because
his game wasn't developed as much as John Wall's.
Dude, he came into the league getting 18-5. How's that not developed?
He was still a
Wall
cub.
Wall still.
His game has grown immensely.
Wall is not that much different of a player than he was entering from Kentucky.
We're not talking about the growth. We're talking about who was a better player at the time.
How are we not talking about growth at the same time, though?
No, we're talking about who was a better player at that point in time. And who would have more of an impact?
We would have to pull up. I don't even know. We would have to pull up.
Kyrie was a guaranteed 20-6. Wall was climbing up to 19-7-6, which is cool. But even then, Wall has stalled. Even right now, until Wall gets his scoring up, he's always going
to
be looked at
as. It doesn't have to necessarily be about scoring though. If your team's making the playoffs,
He's a point.
You know why I say that?
He's an old-fashioned point guard.
You know why I say that? Because there's some players in the league, right? When it comes to people want to talk one way or two way, even if you look at Kyrie and go one way, his one way is more impactful and even better than some players who have two ways. There are legitimate two way players.
Okay, you can say that, but so you want to throw the scoring out. Chris Paul easily could score 30 a game.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. How many times do you see Chris Paul barely touch over 23 sometimes? He's contributing in a different way. Chris Paul knows he could easily score. Jason Kidd has a different type of game. Jason Kidd's a great point guard. He's not a scorer. He later developed a three-point shot. You have different point guards. You have different styles, and it fits that system. It helps out the team. If he wants to pass it off to Bradley Beal or if he wants to throw oops to Nene or whoever's on the squad popping from threes, everybody's different. It's not all about scoring. Yes, Kyrie, offensive game is better than John Wall, but you can't. You'd be remiss if you looked at John Wall's impact in the game on how explosive he is on the fast break. This is a thing with so many point guards. When you have Russell Westbrook, when you have Kyrie Irving, when you have Derrick Rose, and you see that awesomeness, that greatness in the point guard, knowing that, forget it, my game-winning shot is going to the point guard. I don't need it. That's my star right there. The person that is a ball-dominant person is going
to
shoot the game-winning shot.
But to lead on another note, at this point in time, I don't know if I see John Wall as a superstar, but I see Kyrie as a superstar right now.
No.
John Wall is an all-star that to get to a superstar. And here's the thing, too. I will even admit this. It's even unfair to him considering Kyrie gets to play with LeBron now. But considering that...
Mo Williams made the all-star game playing with LeBron, so...
But I'm not going to count that.
Mo Williams did drop 52 last year.
I'm not going to count that all-star appearance for Mo Williams because he was voted in because he had a 43-point game. I remember that.
Come on, then
the coaches voted him
in. Come on, man. He
got because. It was whack because the voting passed.
It's like
and
Brian.
He had 43,
it's like
Brian, and then the coaches went, all right, let's put him in.
Hey, it's like Brian Scalabrine. He got more rings than Charles Barkley. You got to count it, bro.
Nah, I'm not doing that for all-star game. I'm not doing that for all-star game, Mo Williams. And I just forgave Mo Williams for how soft he was after LeBron left Cleveland. But speaking of LeBron, three rings. What is it? Damn, six straight, seven straight finals. What is LeBron's legacy to you right now?
He's the best player I've ever seen play the game, period, hands down. And I saw the last end of Jordan. LeBron James is the best overall player to ever play the game of basketball, period.
Mount Rushmore.
That's it?
Do you need to say more when you say Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, because people might be like, where's his face at? You know, is it the top face? Is it at the end? Or some people might feel that way.
When you're on Mount Rushmore, it doesn't matter.
And basketball Twitter does, but that's why I got to ask you.
Nah, you can't. That's another thing is that we fall. It's very tough. Everyone has a different way of playing in the game and impacting it. You have five different positions. To just say LeBron is better.
The reason why I say, not to cut you off, but the reason why I say LeBron's better than anybody that's ever played the game is because he could honestly play every single position and dominate almost equally. I mean, it would be hard for him to dominate at the center position because of his height, but he's almost there. Yeah, he could play it. But he could dominate at every other four positions.
But you know who also did that?
Magic?
Yes.
But I still think LeBron is more of a dominating.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. But Magic is a rookie. Had to fill in for Wilt, or pardon, for Kareem. Messing
42-19-7.
Yeah.
I mean,
LeBron's a GOAT. Absolutely. People going to hate. And I'm a Miami Heat fan, so I loved when he came to Miami. But, yo, it's a business decision. Just like it's a business decision with the villain of the league, Kevin Durant. So what? Your feelings is hurt. Would you live in OKC 9 years of your life?
Not really, winning no rings.
Think about it. And Draymond Green went off of Paul Pierce, you a sucker. Talking about, like, oh, back in my young bloods. Bruh, you originated the young big three. The new era of big threes. Just because you were in Boston doesn't mean it takes you away from the big three because Ray Allen and KG came to you. Come on now. But, yeah, if you want to compete with Disney, you want to compete with Apple.
Like, Draymond.
Draymond need to just be careful with Snapchat.
No, he just need to be careful not hitting people in the freaking nuts. But I do appreciate him doing that because Cavs won the championship because of that. So I'm more than grateful for him
as long and as that action.
Hey, it was a big part. And I saw it happen and I
admit
go
it.
It's
your turn, admit it.
I watched it live and I went,
yep. Oh, I can't say helpful. That's the reason they won.
It's no, absolutely not.
It was definitely like a...
It's hard to put a...
Top three reason to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a turning point. I'll give it a turning
point. There you
point.
Go. It's
that
like was a turning it's point. It's like a book.
But people are... You're acting like the next... What was it? The next three games? Next three games, LeBron and Kyrie, I mean, they exploded.
Yeah.
So if they would have under... He, if they would have imploded...
In game five... They both combined for over 60 points.
And they did it again the next game.
Nah, they did combine for over 60 again.
Are you sure?
With game six?
Game six, nah.
No, they had to.
Yeah,
I think No, LeBron had 41. They and then Kyrie had 24.
Yeah,
Kyrie would have had 30, but he injured his foot in that game.
Yeah, because game five was 30-30, and then LeBron
41-41.
Yeah, because they were saying that was like the first time ever or in how many years that... Two games in a row.
Game five, 41-41.
So Draymond Green gave them the opportunity to do it.
And don't forget about Bogut. It has to be mentioned because...
Yeah,
not yet. It's because he's driving to the paint. We're not talking about offense. He's a body. Who would you rather defend your paint as Golden State? Bogut or Festus Ezeli? We saw what happened when Festus Ezeli was in
there. I mean, it's a big part. I don't see the Warriors doing anything in the finals.
When I look at how that game was turned... When I look at how the games were turning out, though... Bogut's impact was more in like the first 2 to 3 games.
Nah, Bogut's impact, you didn't see it. It's when LeBron is driving. You have a person is 7 foot.
Of course.
You're going to alter different shots.
Of course I saw it.
Now that he's not in the lane, LeBron's just going to rise and slam.
But a big difference was LeBron wasn't posting up in the final 4 games of that series. LeBron started making his jump shots. Dave started making threes. Kyrie started getting off from the perimeter. And the Cavs also started pushing it off in transition. So that's why I'm saying, like, with Bogut, I'm like, I'm not sure how Bogut really would have worked. Because even if Bogut's playing, if you got the Cavs suddenly playing...
All hypotheticals, we'll never know. They won the championship.
Nah, man, I'm getting my point out. If you got the team going out in transition and they cooking from the perimeter, there's nothing Bogut could do. If we're talking inside presence, to me, I think that's just logic.
If Bogut's in the game, I don't know if the Cavs... I don't know if they would have won in 7. A lot could have changed.
A lot could have changed, a lot.
I don't know. That's why it's like...
It doesn't matter. In the history books, Cleveland won.
Everything happened the way it was
supposed to happen. Came back from 3-1. Cleveland, this is for you.
But With that said, I can see them doing it again this year because
Cavs will repeat.
The Warriors did not get any deeper. If anything, they got a little less.
You
want to
talk about lack
deeper.
Of depth. You guys love talking about lack of depth. You want to talk about lack of depth. They don't got that depth they had the last 2 years.
Warriors?
They don't.
You're talking about Warriors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They don't. They lost. I mean, they lost Bogut. Even though Harrison Barnes wasn't Barbosa. Really there.
Azealia's not there. Spates is not there.
Yeah, they lost It's Iggy.
It's Livingston. So you're cool. You're cool in that aspect. But then they have to depend on, like, a lot of young cats. They got to depend on the Earl Clarks of the world and, like, whoever they bring in to be, like, a.
Those are not
good. Where did David West go?
I mean, yeah, West went to the Golden State, but still, West is like that veteran signing that you look at first, you go, oh, yo, that's going to be nice. And then he doesn't play in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, he might have a few. Like, West is the type of dude to have a few important threes.
And JaVale McGee makes a roster. I think that's a solid
pick. Yeah, like, so they have a lot of, it's like that depth is like, what if, besides two guys?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's why I had a problem with Klay Thompson being quoted a couple weeks ago saying, I see us scoring a couple 150-point games. I'm like, why are you worried about scoring 150 points, motherfucker?
Because
like,
he knows.
Why don't you? Yeah, but he at the knows. End of the day, at the end of the day,
the starting center's now Anderson Varejao.
But at the end of the day, knows. if you're thinking about scoring 150-point games after coming off a horrible loss to the Cap, wouldn't you rather take the humble route and say, look, I'm not worried about scoring 150-point games?
That was their downfall in the finals. They got too cocky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And Klay Thompson is one of those dudes.
It's not too cocky. You live or you die by the three. And their shots were broke. They just couldn't make it. And then once their shots were missing, you saw they were hesitant. Even the ones that were open, they wouldn't shoot. They wouldn't shoot the 15-footers.
The dude who I said got too cocky was Kevin Durant in the playoffs. He needed to quiet himself. Because it
Klay, I'm not going to let you get away. You tested LeBron's manhood prior to Game 5 in that press conference with that little statement. And his father dissed LeBron, too, on the radio.
Who, KD?
No, Klay Thompson's father.
Oh, Klay Thompson.
Not many people remember that, but that was like a big story. His father's like LeBron, so soft, complaining about this and that. 80s talk because you know he played in the
80s. Yeah, he was on the
stuff.
Lakers. He was on.
And then Klay, was talking about softness with LeBron, and then dude saw what happened. So Klay, I'm not gonna let you off the hook for that. That was a storyline for five days.
Klay talks a lot.
Karma always comes back. That's the reason why Kevin Durant didn't advance because they were saying Stephen Curry.
Oh, yeah, his defense.
And they joked about it, and then, oops.
You know what's so funny? I watched that Game 7 a few days ago. I watched those highlights from Game 7, and it was incredible.
I could make a prediction on KD's future with Golden State. I think he's going to...
Remember, two-year deal, $54.5 million.
He's not going to win a ring in 2 years.
I got him winning this year.
Nah.
I'll give him one at some point. I'll give him one, or...
On this Warriors team? In the next 2 years, I don't see it happening.
I'll give him one.
And it's definitely not happening. If it happens, it's going to happen next year. It's not happening this season.
You see him on the cover of Rolling Stone?
Yeah, I saw that. That was hilarious. My man looked like he was in an Old Navy commercial.
Yeah, he had wife beater, Jesus chain, with some Wrangler jeans or Bruce Springsteen jeans.
He looked like he brushed his hair, too. Shout out to you,
Kevin. I mean, I'm sure he's enjoying his life a lot more in Golden State and in San Francisco, Oakland area.
I would, too.
But even with that said, do you think KD will really care about, like LeBron did his first season in Miami, about the villain role? Or because it looks like he really doesn't. It looks like he's just having a lot of fun.
I think it's completely different.
I think he's
the
having
LeBron
just a lot of fun.
The villain was you did the decision. You had this whole explosion of Cleveland. They were heartbroken. People were burning jerseys. Nobody was really burning jerseys in OKC.
But people would still say, like, you left the team that was just up 3-1.
Yeah, but it's still
to
not.
Go to
I don't
that
even think
team.
It's not even as.
It's not even close. But at the same time, I think KD will still catch a good amount of flack just from a basketball aspect. Here's why I'll say that. Because, yes, the decision when LeBron did it, it was crazy. But years later, people look on the flip side and still go, well, LeBron still, when he did the decision, hosted it at a Boys and Girls Club, raised over, I think it was like $1 million or $2 million for the Boys Club. So, and then people also look at it from a basketball standpoint and go, well, look at what LeBron was doing in Cleveland, and it just reached that point in the road where he just felt like he couldn't win a championship. KD, you're right, no decision, always a friendly guy. But KD, over the last few years, the media was starting to turn on him a little bit because he was getting a little more edgier. He was getting a little more outlandish, cursing a bit more and expressing himself. And then you go to the team that won a chip the year before, was a game away from winning the chip, 73 wins and an MVP.
I don't even look at KD as a villain. I look at him as kind of punking out in a way. Like, that's like you, somebody taking your lunch money every day.
That's what I'm saying. The basketball aspect will take this to another level, just from a basketball standpoint.
But I think that people use that villain card the wrong way. Like, I feel like the media propels this villain card. And yeah, KD kind of plays up to it because he's like, whatever, like, yeah, I'll play the villain role. Because at the end of the day, he knows he's not. I mean, he's not a villain. He's more or less like a punk. Like, how are you going to go to the team that just made you stay out of the finals for 2 years in a row? Like, come on.
And again, they won a championship. There was a 73-win team. They was MVP.
That's not Miami, the team you go to.
And Justin, you know this. Miami, even before they got LeBron, okay, they won the chip in 06, but they were trash after they won the chip in 06. They won like 15. No, they got swept the next year by Chicago in the first round. Ben Gordon cooked Wade. Shout out to my running zone, Ben Gordon. Then
Ben Gordon, I remember.
And then they won like 15 games.
Coming off the bench.
Then they won 15 games. Wade had that series. I remember Wade had that crazy shoulder injury in Houston where he was crying on the
bench. Crying on the bench.
I remember that. And then 09-10 was like borderline playoffs. He turned up versus Boston in the first round in 2010 before they got swept. So when you look from a basketball point, you go, Miami wasn't no Golden State, but Golden State was Golden State.
But these things always turn out to be, everyone's hyped about Golden State. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to win 75 games.
28 out of the 30 GMs are saying it's going to be a repeat of the Cavs and the Warriors. And the only reason why it's not 30 for 30, no pun intended with ESPN, is because the Cavs and the Warriors can't select themselves.
That is true.
I would assume that it should be a repeat.
It really should be. Because, I mean, even if we had to look at the competition, like, I guess we know for the East who you're going with, if there was somebody to dethrone Cleveland, right? Safely
Indiana,
so, Indiana.
Right?
Yep.
But from the West.
Yeah, who can.
Will my man CP really do it in terms of getting to the conference finals? Well, Blake, now, it's not even just CP.
The Western Conference Finals.
What are you doing, Blake?
The Western Conference Finals that we all want to see.
Spurs?
Nope. Take a better guess.
Clippers, Warriors?
Hell no.
No? Don't say what?
Warriors and OKC. Russell Westbrook just going ham, dropping 40.
I mean,
that is who I got winning MVP this year.
Westbrook?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the driving force of all of it. If they make the
he's
finals.
He's already
Oladipo, just pass me the ball.
He's already pre-written as that. I'll say this, too. I think the season's really make a break for Westbrook.
What do you mean make a break?
I think it's make a break for him because the perception about Russell Westbrook, the reputation, just everything that builds up, especially with KD leaving you, all that slander that's been given to him over these years is either going to be validated or look stupid this season.
Nah, I don't think it's make or break.
I think it is.
The reason why I can't.
Especially when you re-up too. Like, nobody forced you to re-up for 3 more years in Oklahoma City. You only had 1 more year, Russ.
I don't know why he re-up.
You only had 1 more year, bro. You could have just balled out, then cards in your hands, baby. But you re-up. You clearly want to be the man. You took that. You know you're claiming the city now.
But when you say it's a make or break, like, do you even? I don't even think it's possible for him to have a bad season this year.
I don't even look at it as just when I say make or break. I'm not even talking.
What do
about,
you want to see from him this season?
You know this. It's not when I say make or break. I'm not talking about just numbers.
Okay.
Because Russell's at the point where honestly, in my life watching basketball, only him and LeBron and Ben Simmons in high school and college, because I had the chance to see Ben Simmons play in person, are the only two, or only three, who I've seen that naturally could just fill up a stat sheet. Naturally. Bad game, good game, great game. They could naturally fill up a stat sheet. So I know that's what he's going to do. It's just more about, of course, you have to win. But when people really want to know, does Russell Westbrook really make players better? Does he really keep people involved? Those are the two biggest things that we have to see. Because even though there's no KD, you have Victor Oladipo, who people are high on as a young, promising guard who has all-star potential. You have Enes Kanter. You have Steven Adams. You got those guys there that come off the bench that can play ball. That, again, you want to talk LeBron, you want to talk any other superstar, you put them in OKC, they will utilize them and make them better. To me, we need to see Westbrook do the same thing. Numbers are going to be numbers. He's going to get his 28-10-9. It's just those two things, because a lot of people don't feel as if he ever did those two things, despite the numbers he put up. That's why I feel like it's a make or break from that standpoint. Because if he doesn't fulfill those two things...
As a leader of a team?
As a leader of a team, just that.
I wouldn't say it's make or break, because this is his first year in the role, and usually when you say the make or break term, that means that people are going to make up the decision after this year. It's his first year.
I don't think they will, because again, the slander's already been building up, and keep in mind... People are going to go off the fact that, well, we had our little preview of Westbrook without Durant when Durant was injured, and they didn't make the playoffs. It was just a couple years ago. Durant had the foot injury, and it was all right, Russ. It was like, all right, Russ, let's see you do it.
They were
and
close.
They didn't make it. They lost out to New Orleans, and we know all more about New Orleans when it comes to the playoffs. So that's why I'm saying that it's that type of season for Russ. The numbers don't matter to
me. KD wasn't the only one that was hurt. Serge was battling injury as well.
That's true, but that was like the biggest thing for people wanting to see. That's why
Where is
like,
Serge at?
Serge
Orlando.
Is in Orlando.
Orlando.
Orlando. That's what I'm saying. I think for Russ,
it's Serge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For Russ, I think it's really that type of it's gonna be that type of vibe one. Especially when now mad people are looking at you as the predetermined MVP. Oh man. You don't think make a break for why? Four reasons.
Because this is his first year. You're transitioning to that role. You're going to be expecting a lot from him. But make a break, there's a lot of people that have already made up their mind. I don't think there's anything that Russell, because the shooting percentage is going to be very subjective for you to say, is he getting people better? Because the shooting percentage isn't going to be the best because he's going to jack up a lot of shots. So he may get 500%.
So it might be a shot or
something. So nah. Still, though, he's going to have to jack up shots, though. Because Victor Oladipo, as good as a point guard he is and a young, promising
talent.
But
does he really have to jack up those shots, though, Nick? Does Westbrook?
Who
I
are you going to pass
to? I think now
to?
He has to.
Yes.
But
who are you going to pass
though,
to?
But
you,
who else is going to
really,
shoot?
Though?
You said that shit about Kobe? Nope.
But
I ain't saying that he got Smush Parker on the team, but who are you going to pass
exactly.
to?
There's no Smush Parker. There's no Chris Mean.
Who are you going to pass to? Tell me who you're going to pass to.
Play beside, with Oladipo. Oladipo, you got Cantor in the post.
No, but who can make their own shot besides Deion Waiters?
No, Deion Waiters doesn't count. And plus, he's with your boys now in Miami.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Deion did. My
it has to be Oladipo. It has to be a partnership with them because Oladipo has shown that. Oladipo is what, maybe
so
year
so
four.
I feel like Oladipo should just play that role of feeding Westbrook the ball.
So that's only
and
that,
I don't think it's going
to
work.
So that's only one player. He was still getting the shots up.
Like I said, Oladipo.
He was still getting the shots up when KD was there.
That's true, but I feel like it's different because he know he had KD. Like, you got somebody to
Oladipo,
bail you out.
Oladipo's still young. When Oladipo
he's
was
young,
in Orlando,
but he's emerging.
He's emerging, yeah, but
he
when
emerged as a 15, 16-point scorer, you can't just turn that potential and go, yeah, man, we're just going to turn you to stand on the wing.
I think Oladipo will still put up 15, 16, but
he'll
have 10 assists.
Yeah, they have to play together.
Yeah,
Cantor is a legitimate.
I think they will play together.
Cantor is a legitimate post option.
Yes.
Adams could finish at the basket.
Yes.
You got Anthony Morrow who can shoot. You got Robinson who improved his jumper. The options are there. That's what I'm saying. Like, for that type of team, along with the West getting weak, he has to utilize those guys, man.
He has the basketball IQ to know that. He's not. I don't think his shot's going to go down tremendously, but I think he's going
to
be a smarter basketball player.
He has to be more efficient.
Knowing that he is the leader of this team, and he has to make sure they win games.
He has to be more efficient.
He's still going
to
get triple-doubles.
Yeah, of course. What will make it worse? What will make it worse is if at any point of the season, it appears guys are not getting better. It just can't.
As long
happen.
As they're winning games, it doesn't matter.
How are you going to say they're getting better? Because they're scoring? What is your definition
scoring,
of getting better?
Scoring, getting smarter, staying
as
involved.
As long as they're winning. Because even if everybody's scoring
Those
and they're not winning games,
yeah.
then people are still going to blame Westbrook.
Those are all moot points.
I think it's
as
not,
long as they're
not
winning,
you because people basketball,
nah,
basketball
as,
people are
But would you agree, though?
Picky,
would you agree
they're
as long
picky.
As they're winning games, that's all that matters? If Westbrook, numbers are super high,
so even,
all that
but here's the thing, though. What I'm saying, because you guys just want to make it as simple as just winning games, but people are just picky, and I think it's not just about winning games. And I think it's just a matter of how it's
your
done.
Record says what you nah is going
it
to
is.
You are what your record says you are. So because Morrow is going to get better and he's going to shoot a couple of shots and he's going to improve his game. Victor Oladipo, hey, most improved player. Nah, what's your record, bro?
Yeah, that's
like,
all that's
going to
matter.
What is your stance?
I think the bigger storyline
is
going to
be. That
is going to be
the
litmus
test.
The bigger storyline is going to be, we can win games without KD.
Yes.
And we hope we see KD in the playoffs.
That is going
to be the storyline.
That is going to be the progression. You can't, because
they're doing scoring X amount of points. They're going to base it off of Russell's stats and where their stance is.
I really think that. Yes. Because once KD went to, it's just
going
to be played up.
It's going to be that. If they struggle, and Russell can have his numbers, but if they're struggling,
how do you define struggle?
I think losing games is but not just losing games.
Because, that was the first thing that came out your mouth, though.
Of course, because it's an obvious point.
Exactly, that's what we're trying to say.
But here's the thing. You guys make it seem like that's just the only point.
No, we didn't say that. We're saying that for the naked eye, that is going to be the first point, just like it was the first thing that came out your mouth. That is going to be the first thing. You have a hierarchy and a priority list. That is going to be how they use the barometer. How is Russell doing? How's the team doing without KD? How is his team growing? We're going to look at that. Then we're going to look at how Russell is doing. We're going to look at all his shot efficiency, blah, blah. Then we're going to look at how much of a factor are the other players.
I think people already associate the wins and losses with Russ. I think it's tied. That's why I'm focusing on the other aspects, because we can talk naked eye, but the basketball conversations these days are more than just the naked eye and just this, that, okay, we're done. People are going to bring up various things. And the same things that I'm mentioning, we mention continuously with LeBron. We mention continuously with any player, just not only what is happening,
but it's usually
but also what
cast you need around you as well. Because I think another storyline will be Russell is putting up points, they're winning games, but they need another big player to come in and support. KD is going. I think it's going to be like KD's a missing.
And suppose Oladipo.
Has
a whack season.
That makes Russell's case even better. They're went into doing their thing. But I also think it will make it more incredible if Russell gets his numbers, of course, and then they're winning. But to me, more importantly, they see the fact that Russell can play with guys. And that's the thing, too. In 2016, it's about, do guys want to play with this guy? And, of course, that makes sense. But it's also about still, which has always been, can this guy, as the biggest star on his team and one of the biggest stars in the league, will he make guys better? And does it feel like that? Because we've always gone by that for this decades upon decades. All this playing with each other stuff, that's that new 2000s, 2010 AAU generation stuff. But that aspect that I mentioned that you guys even broke down, that will always be there. That's why I feel for Russell. That's why I said I think it's make or break from that standpoint. Because you got a lot of people, you're right, Justin, they've already made up their minds about Russell. You're absolutely right. But there's a lot of people that haven't. And there's a lot of people that will use this season to figure out for themselves, what should I think about Russell Westbrook, along the fact that, again, the man signed a 3-year, $80-plus million deal when he didn't have to. So he even took that on himself because, again, he was supposed to be a free agent after this year. He could have just played hard, dip. You signed a new deal right after KD leaves, and you know the team situation. So that's why I'm saying that. But that's the Easter egg, I don't know. But before we go, how are we feeling in terms of any surprise picks or players? Justin, let's start with you. Because you already dropped the bomb on us early with Indiana being number two.
All right. I got sponsored by JCPenney. Suit. Shoes by Gucci. Chris Dunn.
Oh, word.
Minnesota Timberwolves. I like that young core. Karl-Anthony Towns. Anthony Wiggins. Zach LaVine. Yeah, Zach LaVine. All four of them. That's a solid squad. They would, if they get into the playoffs, it'd be eight. But I just like that young core three. I say three because I'm throwing Chris Dunn in there. I still want to see more from Zach LaVine. I'm giving Chris Dunn more reps over Ricky Rubio just because of his size. I'm not a fan of Rubio. Rubio should be gone just like they gave up on Johnny Flynn. But, yeah, that's my sleeper right there. I want to see the Timberwolves. If you live in Minneapolis and you're a Timberwolves fan, go to some games. Check them out. They giving people in that city something to flourish on.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, even though I'm probably gonna regret this one day, but I think Porzingis is gonna probably let the Knicks make noise. He's gonna be one of the reasons the Knicks make noise.
You already regretted the decision.
He's
gonna step up and he's probably gonna do some big things this season for the Knicks. They need somebody to come out of their shell and make noise. I think Porzingis goes to the All-Star game this year.
Kristaps.
Hey, they need him to be that. I just don't think that they could, you know, allow him to fall to the wayside. For me, I guess my big surprise is just going to be think Joel Embiid is going to turn up this year, be healthy, and just be a beast. You know, it's been a long time coming.
Good luck.
Hey, it's been a long time coming. So far in preseason, he's been looking pretty decent.
Sixers got a curse.
And the Sixer curse is real, folks. That's why I told you I didn't want Philly to win the lottery. I knew that was going to happen to Ben Simmons. I was so mad they won the lottery. I'm like, why'd he get hurt? Why'd he get hurt? And I was right. But, hey, look, that was the first episode of Season 2 of the Snatchback Podcast. Also, let me give a huge shout-out to my boy Kenny Shane, who released a great anthem for Kristaps Porzingis a few days ago that Kristaps even tweeted out. Has over 11,000 hits on SoundCloud, thousands of hits on Facebook. You guys know he's a good friend of mine, was on the Foresight Podcast, huge Knicks fan. So salute to my dude Kenny Shane. And before I let my guys go, Justin and Nick, please let them know where they can find you guys, and definitely the podcast. Please let them know.
Yes, sir. This is Justin right here at Justin Walters TV. The podcast is on SoundCloud, about to make its way to iTunes. So please keep a lookout for that. Just in the Nick on SoundCloud as well as Twitter.
And you can find me, Nick, on Instagram and Twitter at Cregan. That's CREEGANNN.
And that is the Snatchback Podcast, AST Radio, Art and Sports Talk. You guys stay blessed. Watch the Cavs get their rings. And watch my boy Kyrie turn up and do things of that nature.
Paul George.
All right, we out.